Welcome to the Subvert Podcast, your entry into the land of no easy answers. Join us as we attempt to merge neuroscience and sock puppets to navigate the vagaries of the mind.
Well, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
This is the Subvert Podcast, the land of no easy answers. I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am actually most days, so pretty sure.
They have
been blurring together,
I tell you. I keep waiting for summer to hit. Hasn't quite gotten there.
Well, yeah. And I think that that's the topic of today's episode, actually, is just this kind of blending together, because this is a phenomenon I've noticed with a lot of people. And I'm sure a lot of you out there can feel the same way. And maybe some of you don't. Maybe you guys have very, you know, varied lives. But a lot of people, particularly over the last few years, have just felt like a blur. You know, like the days have kind of blended into each other, the weeks, the months, and it's this constant waiting for something else. So the language you just used there actually sparked that, was I can't wait for summer. And that's all you've kind of been hearing. Oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that. And 2 years of I can't wait for something to be different has led to 2 years of, well, what's just happened?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, there's a lot of things going, you know, it's the idea that we're still waiting for like sunshine to hit here, which is odd for where we live, right? Like we usually get, you know, a couple months of monsoon season and then it kind of goes away, but it's just been gloomy and dreary for a while, which I think has been affecting a lot of people's mood.
Well, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, which I think speaks to a lot of what's been going on around us lately, right? Like the mood has been sour, but like you said, with time going quick, I mean, that's part of a feature of her, right? Like it just deletes all everything that we've done before. So if you're locked inside all day doing the same thing and eating the same food all day, every day.
Yeah. And not being able to really go places, even still now with things being kind of lifted, there's still a lot of restriction, I would say, on daily life. At least even like it's now at a subconscious level for a lot of people, it's still this hesitation. Am I allowed to do this? What's going to happen? And, you know, so we're kind of held back, I would argue, still quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, even going out to a concert now is still just like, okay, I guess we're doing this. Right.
Well, it's kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Like everyone, not everyone, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but a lot of people feel like they're just kind of walking around on eggshells a lot of times, you know, like, oh, is this okay now?
Well, and
is the floor going to fall out from under me at any point?
Yeah.
And it's not really a healthy way to go about life, you know? And if you're able to just kind of forget it and be like, yeah, fuck it, I'm just going to live to my fullest every single day, then that's awesome and good for you. And teach me how, because I try to embody that a lot. But it's hard when there's this whole looming threat of something can just go tits up any minute.
Yeah, basically. And how do you get around that feeling? You know, like, because that would, you know, inform most of your daily life. Right?
Yeah.
Like getting out of bed in the morning now becomes, right? Like, well, what's the use?
Yeah. Well, and particularly when you've still got a large portion of the population working from home, right? Because the pandemic forced that to happen and a lot of people haven't gone back.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's company is one, for example, they've told him he's just never going to come back to the office. He now forever works from home, you know, and how that can affect people. And you're right, you know, you kind of do need a reason to be able to get up. You need something to break up the monotony of your day to day.
And if we've built our whole, you know, system around going to the office and doing our thing there, which it always kind of struck me as a little odd in the first place, that most of the time the jobs that I was doing could have been done from home, and yet we were forced to come and sit in this place because this is where the meetings were, I guess, right? And I mean, there's a lot of research to show that, you know, having that FaceTime with your managers and your higher ups actually gets you the raises and the stuff that you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it helps you endear to your supervisors. But, you know, it becomes now you have to restructure everything, right? Where you used to have that structure of you'd go from 9 to 5, you were at least there doing something that was supposed to be considered productive for the company.
Yeah.
Right? now what does that look like if you're not actually having your boss, you know, and that becomes the overarching, you know, image of a lot of that is the boss, you know, standing over your shoulder, watching what you're doing all the time, you know? And so now with the technology, that's become an even more pervasive thing for a lot of these things. So now working from home becomes an even worse proposition in a lot of cases, because now you have to clock in and then every second of what you're doing on your computer is scanned. Mm. There, you know, there's increased scrutiny over, are you being productive from home? Is the right? Like, you know, and it becomes a question of how do we move forward now into this new thing, right? Like, so let's throw this out to you. Is this working for you, right? Like a lot of you are working from home now, just, you know, and you got 15 minutes off to watch a podcast, and hey, thanks for watching us, right?
Sorry if we get you in trouble.
You know, but that's where we are now, you know, and, you know, hey, if you're working from home, then, you know, you have more time for this, so.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But what does that look like? You know, how has it changed your situation? You know, is it better for you? And I'm sure it just depends on the situation, on the job, and the, you know, there's lots of different variables involved as to whether it's better for, you know, I mean, I would say in general, it's probably better for you to be at home, but
it depends on how you look at it and what you're doing, of course, because if you're at working from home, you're missing kind of the social aspect of going to be around other people. And even if it's something as simple as the commute, something that gets you out of your house that interacts with your environment, you know, even if it's you just getting in your car from your front door to your car to your office or your workplace and getting out again, you are changing the scenery. So you have different stimuli that's coming into you. Mm. And if we are just taking that away from people, which we're kind of doing at an alarming rate, the way that everything is kind of going towards, you can now access it from the comfort of your own home, right? You can get anything now delivered to you. You don't need to go and speak to a human being or interact with environment in any way. And I'm not sure whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. And I mean, please chime in here in the comments below and let us know what you think. And for some people, maybe that's a good thing. Mm. You know, maybe that decreases their anxiety. Maybe they feel better about themselves. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Like for people that have, you know, social anxieties around people. Yeah. Heading into the office was a real trigger, you know. But I also look at now there's increasing research that the way to fix, say, a peanut allergy is through increasingly, like, starting at a very low dosage,
yeah,
but basically slowly ramping up the amount of peanut that you get.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, exposure therapy, and which is so, for phobias and such as well.
And so, you know, there's a good portion of it that I would think would be part of that thing where, you know, the lack of exposure isn't going to help that get any better, right? Mm-hmm. And that only by actually getting out and having that exposure do you have any chance of actually getting over this thing if that's what you're looking to do, right?
Well, and it's a term you brought up a while back on an episode was hyper-individualization.
Oh, yeah.
And could this, you know, segregation of people, let's say, into their own little cubes of, you know, living in your own homes and apartments and having a very confined interaction space contribute to that? Right. And we are seeing this dissociation between individuals and society. And could this be adding to that problem? Something that seems to be positive in terms of, you know, when it's a health crisis, which is, you know, what we've just kind of come out of and why it was introduced. Do the benefits of that outweigh the loss of connection, or can it potentially make it better somehow?
Yeah, and I mean, that's where I think we have the opportunity with all of these things to rebuild, you know, and while I'm always for creating, because, you know, I feel that destroying things is an easy route to go. But, you know, it's only by actually building something that you have any appreciation for what it took to build it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that we lose a lot of that with this whole separation of, like, none of these things here did I build. None of this.
Yeah.
Right. So you get that...
Except this awesome set.
This awesome set and this wonderful following that we have here. Thank you for watching. We really appreciate it. You know, but it's the problem of... I heard a great quote the other day that we have learned the value of many things, but... Or sorry, we've learned the cost of many things, but the value of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that, unfortunately, feels like a really, you know, indictment on the society that we built here, where there's just no value in any of it, right? Like, other than this following that we have. And thank you very much for watching.
Yeah, most valuable.
You know, and that's the only thing that really in this world actually really matters is our connection to other people.
Yeah.
You know, our connection to these things around us. And if we have no idea of the value of that, because it's all been taken away and we've just been left with, well, I guess this is what we're doing. And so, you know, your brain tries to make that into the new norm as much as possible, which isn't going to be healthy, isn't going to help us, but is unfortunately kind of what we have to do in this situation. And hopefully is something that we can then, like, again, after knocking this down, we can rebuild, right? The idea of this backlash against the woke culture, which I agree with, you know, it's gotten to a point, but I also go, it shouldn't have gotten to the point where it had to be woke in the first place. We should have just been fucking awake from the beginning, and we shouldn't have had to call attention to the fact that these things had been going on underneath that you were sleeping and weren't paying attention to, and now we've had to call these things out.
Well, right? I think, I mean, overcompensation is never the answer.
But I mean, I don't know if it is. Like, that's my problem. It's the problem of if you say something to anybody, their response is, right? And so if that's the response when you're when you're just trying to have a normal conversation with someone about these important things, you know, how do I respond to that? If I'm saying to you normal, rational things, as far as I'm concerned, and just trying to have a conversation about the information that I've received, and I'm receiving, fuck you, you fucking, oh, wait, now, how do I respond to that? Am I supposed to respond with fuck you too?
Yeah.
You know? And this is where I feel a lot of this has kind of devolved into this lack of trust, this lack of accountability, this, you know, the problem is not the woke culture, the problem is that we haven't been woke till now, which isn't necessarily an indictment of where we were. This is progressive society. This is how society moves forward, is by recognizing those things that we did in the past, you know, by recognizing history, you know, and reading about history and learning about history and going, wait a minute, that led to poverty, destruction, you know, all of these things that have been leading to, you know, that we've still been following. And because nobody's just actually looked back at the history and went, wait a minute, we tried that already, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, ideally, that's what we should all be striving towards, is just an openness to learn from our own past mistakes and an openness to the points of view of other people, you know, without this like need for the overcorrection. And it's like, okay, well, now we need to step in. And now it's like, now we need to do this massive shift that ends up affecting something else. And so, so instead of, you know, all of this, it's, as we always come back to, let's have a way of talking to each other in an open discourse, you know, to say, yeah, it's good to recognize that shit went very, very wrong. And, you know, our ancestors fucked a lot of shit up, right? How can we go forward so we can build something together instead of constantly having this blame game? Because that's all we've done, is we just attach and we reduce people. This is going to be kind of like a contradictory statement here, but we reduce people to their ideologies. Yep. Right? Those are, I know there's two opposite things, but we do this now that it's like, oh, you're part of, you know, you say the woke culture as a an example. And now we have reduced you as an individual human being to this large ideological movement that actually has nothing to do with you as an individual, because you happen to hold some beliefs. And this is how we now get to fighting each other. And it's like, oh, well, now you're just one of those woke, you know?
Yeah.
And now you talk to them in a certain way, and same on the other side, and it's,
you make,
you know,
certain assumptions about who they are.
And this is what we need to get away from.
Yeah, and so I go back to, you know, like my poking pain theory of a brain, where, you know, a physical poke inside the brain feels the same as an emotional poke. And this is a part that we still, I don't think, have quite grasped the implications of. Because we still seem to react to these emotional pokes as if somebody was actually jabbing us with a tiny needle, you know? And that's the reaction that I keep seeing with all of this, right? Like, you can't tell me that! Oh, well, why not? Right? Like, because it might actually challenge you to have to think about what you're doing in the first place and why you were doing it? Like, is that really such a problem here? I mean, is it? You know, and then that, so this is kind of where it, you know, we had talked about entitlement, we've talked about, you know, woke, and it feels like these things are somewhat tied together because they're emotional responses to something that doesn't necessarily need to be this emotional. Yeah. Like, these are things that we do need to start, you know, being aware of. But the problem is that, you know, if I say, hey, by the way, and you go, fuck you, that's not a conversation.
You know? It's not.
Well, hopefully it leads to one. And this is my problem. Like, I also get to the point where, you know, I don't tend to shy away from those arguments because I feel that they're arguments that we need to be having. But a lot of people don't want to go down that route. And so we just instantly just shut off.
Well, they're shut down arguments for the most part. You know, when someone's just, fuck yeah! They don't want a response. They just want you to shut up and go along with whatever it is, you know, their personal belief system is. Because again, we've just split people into this ideology is correct and this one isn't. Right? But it depends on what side you're on. And then it's futile because it's like, hey, people hold different points of view.
Yes.
And a lot of, you know, this ideology is super valuable and this ideology is super valuable. But when you go to the extremes of both these things and then you lose sense, it's just like shouting at each other across this chasm, you know, and it's stupid and futile and be like, fuck these guys, look at them idiots over on their hilltop. You know, like.
Yeah. And so how do you navigate that? Like, how do we actually have this conversation then if, you know, how do you move forward if the natural response of the person you're talking to is fuck you? Right. Like that's, you know, here in the land of no easy answers, that's going to be our overarching theme in pretty much all of this.
I feel like we always come back to this conversation.
I feel like this is basically why we started this podcast was to try to, let's just attack this from all sides. Let's just really see what has caused this devolve. What do we do about it? Right. Like, what's the historical, you know, accurate, precedent for what we've seen and how do we actually use that to try to move forward into something that works for all of us? You know, like, how do we take those people who have been felt left behind and how do we bring them up too, right? My problem is I always feel like I'm having to dumb myself down to deal with people all the time, right? Where I can't expect you to just try to get up to here because I constantly have to just, okay, so I guess I have to come at, okay, right? Like, we constantly have to be at the base level instead of expecting that people might actually do the proper amount of research or try to actually commit to, you know, an actual understanding of the position that they're in, you know?
Well, I think that's all it is, because it's not feasible that everyone's going to be an expert in every subject.
And, absolutely.
You know, but what we should be engendering is conversation and a willingness to learn, right? And learning doesn't mean that you have to agree with it. And that's the biggest thing. There's going to be a lot of information out there that you're not going to agree with, you know, but that doesn't mean that it's not worth learning, you know, and you can't be a really well-rounded person until you take all of this stuff in. And I think what we're trying to do, just kind of tie it back to where we started, is how did we end up in this position in the first place? And this is kind of what I see is this disassociation from society, which is now being pushed upon us by, you know, individualization and staying home in your own bubble, in your own worlds, more and more and more, you are just kind of confined, and this is now socially acceptable. So maybe the way out is, as we always say, learning to connect again. You know, as good as it is that we have all of these tools available to us, that we don't need to leave our homes. I mean, that's brilliant. But is this what we want going forward? Because this leads to more polarization. This leads to less understanding. This leads to just more vehement adherence to certain ideologies, regardless of, you know, how well informed you actually are. I'm going on a tangent now, and I don't know where this rant was heading. My thing is that it
basically comes back to the money, right? Yeah. Like, why, like, who does it benefit for us to be so ideologically divided, right? Does it benefit us? Does it help us in any way to have these kind of divisions? Or does it benefit someone who's probably making some money off of it?
Which is a great question that I would actually love to see a discussion on, because does it benefit you? I would like to hear that viewpoint.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't right. benefit me, it doesn't benefit you, but this there might be some right. of you out there that say, actually, yes, this benefits me, and here's why.
I'm sure there's a few hard lines that we should absolutely take. I can think of a couple, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, again, in terms of just like general day-to-day stuff, we just seem to have these real, you know, just hard-line stances on things that I just feel shouldn't be these kind of hard lines. That there should be some sort of understanding that there are two sides to this thing. And if we could just, you know, kind of, you know, have some compromise between them.
Yeah.
That we might be able to actually come to some sort of actual understanding on this instead of just yelling fuck you at each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just funny because it's like kindergarten stuff, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
just stop, listen, try to understand somebody. This shouldn't be, you know, some radical suggestion we're making here.
But, doesn't seem like.
And yet, apparently it is. Like, it's
and it seems to be getting
way.
Harder and harder for everybody to have these, you know, frankly, just juvenile level.
And I know I found myself, actually, I feel myself censored a lot in conversations with other people where it's, you know, I want to be able to speak and not because I believe that I'm right for any reason, but because I just want to have a conversation and share, here's a thought that came in. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, maybe it'll offend you, maybe you'll agree with it. But I find myself going, I'm not going to say that because that's going to trigger something and I don't want to be met with this, fuck you, you're an idiot. You know, so I then shy away a little bit. And I know I'm not the only one that's feeling like this right now. And
yeah,
again, this is not the way forward. This isn't the type of world I want to live in. I want to be able to talk to my friends and neighbors and colleagues, and I like being challenged.
Just
I like
throw out stupid ideas.
Absolutely,
right? Like just throw out like, hey, so I've had this, and I know it may right, like, but then that's the thing, like it doesn't make you into it. Just, you know, we all have these thoughts, and I think it's one of those things where, again, if you're not so, you know, invested in these things, I don't know. Yeah, it's welcome to the Land of No Easy Answers,
exactly.
as always.
Yeah, you know, we've hit like, the point of the episode where we talk in circles.
Yeah, where's the apathy and not in being, you know, like how do you find passion in apathy? It's you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a balance. I think that's what it is. It's balance. This is it's all about
there
balance. That's
okay.
the answer.
Perfect. Done.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. All right.
I mean, we're going to leave it at that. It's a big question mark as always. And again, let's make you part of this conversation. Yeah. Let's help us try to make sense of it. And, you know, share with us. Have you been feeling kind of blah the last couple of years? Have you felt like things are blurring together? Have you felt yourself unable to speak? Do you find yourself outraged and angered by complete strangers? You know, all of these things. Hit us up in the comments below. Let us know what you think.
Never once. No. Nobody out there.
No one's ever thought any of these things
ever.
Yeah.
No. We're all perfect angels.
Absolutely.
Ding.
Don't forget to hit subscribe, of course, wherever you're watching or listening. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for being part of this.
We love all of you. Thank you so much for every second that you've spent with us. And we look forward to, you know, finding out more ways of entertaining you, bringing more puppets, bringing your puppets, right? We've seen a couple of submissions and we're hoping to see more. So bring them up.
But please wash the socks first. That's my only request.
Sorry. I mean,
or address them to Aaron if you don't.
I'll just let my son open it. It'll be fine.
Perfect.
Great. It'll be awesome. He's used to it anyways.
Well, thanks again, everybody, and we will see you next time.
Have a great one.
Bye.